Scott of the SJA, wildfire.com, Final Days Report, episode 343. Really, this is going to be a Bible study about dispensationalism that really is the foundation for Zionism. And I'm going to prove that it's just not biblical. Dispensationalism, I personally think, can be a bit dangerous. It's been taught for the longest time. And many of my Christian friends, even some mentors, believe in dispensationalism. I don't see it. And I think it can be very, very dangerous. And the good book says, if it were possible, even the elect could be deceived. But let's kind of unlock dispensationalism. What is it? How is it, I think, corrupted doctrine and what you need to watch out for? And again, most people that went to seminary school were actually taught this. And so many God-fearing men and women believe in this. But let's kind of try to unlock it and poke some holes in it, my friends. I mean, there's some interesting points to it, but it's literally a man-made doctrine. And it has many tentacles off of it that, again, I think are dangerous, like the pre-trib rapture. But let's read. Dispensationalism is a theological framework of interpreting the Bible. It maintains that the history is divided into multiple ages or dispensations. You'll often hear people say, rightly dividing the word of God. And then they use dispensationalism framework to divide the word of God. And it's just not biblical. The Old Covenant, New Covenant, my friends. The Old Testament was written about Jesus Christ. It's Jesus or bust is the key message for this entire presentation, in which God interacts with his chosen people in different ways. And let's dive into it. It often distinguishes from covenant theology, right? But let's read Hebrews 8:13-13. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Old means done. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So people that keep pushing the old covenant, whatever, it's done with. The veil was torn, my friends, in the temple when Christ was crucified. Distinction between Israel and the church, and that Christians are not bound by Mosaic law. Neither is Israel. It's done with. The rapture of the church that will happen before the second coming of Christ. And if you follow our ministry, we've talked about that often. And it just reminds me as well of, like, God needs to fulfill his promise. Folks, Christians are the promise people. Jews and Gentiles that come to Christ. This is a series that we'll work on. We'll prove it out via scripture. And personally, I think it's like taking candy from a baby. It's pretty easy to prove out just reading the word of God. But let's read Romans 4, verses 13 through 16. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It's always been about faith. And if thy which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. I'm going to prove out to so many pastors will say, we need to bless Israel to be blessed or curse Israel and will be cursed, going back to Abraham. But if we read Galatians, it talks about all of the world will be blessed through Abraham via Christ. It's right in front of you. Bless a Christian and you'll be blessed. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, my friends. But here's where dispensationalism and Zionism gets dangerous. We just did Final Days Report, episode 340, Satanic Move, ban the New Testament Bible under hate speech laws, and it primes Noahide laws. One. Two, this whole third temple nonsense, when the New Testament says you're the temple of God if you're a Christian. Final Days Report, episode 337. Check that out. And how to unlock the book of Revelation. I'm a post-tribber. You check that out. And then Final Days Report, episode 257, Whore versus the Woman, AIB system, right? Israel right now via their war with Gaza, their genocide with Gaza, have an AI targeting system called the gospel. What's Jerusalem's role, the great city where they crucified Christ, called Sodom in Egypt? You need to put all these things in perspective, my friends. Now, the one thing I do think there's a mystery when you read Romans 11, I think in the end of days, God's not done with the Jews and he'll bring a remnant to Christ when you read Zechariah 14 and Zechariah 12. And also, I think it's in Joel and Luke 21. But in the meantime, we need to pray that Jews, classic Jews, get saved, that their eyes are open. All right, here is, it just gets taxing, these periods, right? But here's what's funny, just through scripture, it's all about Jesus Christ, because these are Jesus's words. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, John 5:39. It's all about Christ. Once you read the Old Testament and look for Christ on every page, you'll find him. But here's some of the dispensations within this period. And it sounds kind of cool, you know, with this dispensation period. It sounds like something I would have written in my marketing days. So there's some cool pieces to it, but it's Christ or bust. It's faith or bust. All right, dispensation of innocence. The dispensation covered the period of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God's commands were to fill the earth with children, subdue the earth, have dominion over animals, care for the garden, and abstain from eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All right, the next dispensation, they call it the dispensation of conscience. This lasts about 1,600 years from the time of Adam and Eve's eviction from the garden until the flood. This dispensation demonstrates what mankind will do if left to his own will, which have been tainted by inheriting the sin nature. All right. The dispensation of human government. This begins in Genesis 8. God had destroyed life on earth with a flood, saving just one family. To restart the human race, God made several promises and commands to Noah and his family. The next one, dispensation of promise, started with the call of Abraham, continued through the lives of the patriarchs, and ended with exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt, a period of about 430 years. Next is the dispensation of law, but it typically refers to the period of Moses to Jesus, during which God's people were expected to follow the Mosaic law. Finally, the dispensation of grace, also known as the church age, the current dispensation in which we live. It began with the new covenant in Christ's blood. The age of grace, or church age, occurs between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel. It starts with the second coming of the Spirit of the day of Pentecost and ends with the rapture of the church. Again, the entire Old Testament is about Christ. The last one is the millennial kingdom of Christ. All right, let's dive deep into where this is flawed. Again, it's Christ or bust. And just let's prove it out. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. This is John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59, King James Version. Then said the Jews unto Jesus, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Question mark. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. So Jesus knew Abraham, right? He knew him. Many places in the Old Testament talk about Jesus. I found this interesting as well. 1 Corinthians verse 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. This is talking about Exodus. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. You always will hear people say, we're the spiritual church. And Israel is the physical Israel. We're the spiritual Israel, and Israel is the physical Israel. It doesn't say that in the Word of God. The same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. So they drank the spiritual meat, Jews, Israel, old school Israel, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Let's read that again. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. This to me wakes me up. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And I've admitted this multiple times. I struggle with the spirit of lust. Need to continuously pray and work on that. When I see a beautiful woman and if she smiles and talks to me out in public, I will just pray in my mind that she is a God-fearing Proverbs 31 type woman. If she's not saved, that she gets saved. It's about saving souls, my friends. All right, let's dive deep into dispensationalism flaws. Let's read. It undermines the significance and urgency of the gospel and the mission of the church. It's about his resurrection or nothing. Dispensationalism teaches that the church age is a parenthesis or an interruption of God's plan for Israel. It puts Israel first, folks. And the gospel is only a temporary measure until Christ's return to establish his earthly kingdom. It also teaches that most of the prophecies and promises of the Bible are not relevant or applicable to the church. When you read Matthew 24 and elect are Christians, Christians will get beheaded in the end of days, but only to Israel in the future. Let's read that again. And promises of the Bible are not relevant or applicable to the church, but only to Israel in the future. This diminishes the importance and relevance of the gospel and the church and the responsibility and privilege of Christians to proclaim and live out the gospel in the present age. There's so much scripture that just destroys dispensationalism, in my humble opinion. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. It doesn't say spiritual nation. It says a holy nation, a particular people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, but are now the people of God. So who are the promised people? Who are the chosen people? Who are the people of God? Christians, Jews, and Gentiles, those that believe. It's a seamless book of the Old Testament to New Testament. I was going to put in, when Jesus was talking to the Jewish leaders with a parable and talking about taking away the nation and giving it to somebody else. But this was getting a little bit long. Dispensationalism and Zionism, when you really peel back the onion on the roots of it and you get into Darby and the Schofield Bible and you really unlock who funded that, there's deception there, my friends. Do your own due diligence. We've talked a little bit about the Schofield Reference Bible in the past. Let's continue. It's all about Jesus, right? He's the king. And some more scripture to back that up, where it's Christ or bust. Let's read Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, not some, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Acts 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, it's about reconciliation. You think about the Old Testament, you had to do a bunch of sacrifices to atone for your sins, but Christ was the ultimate atonement for your sins. He was the perfect sacrifice. That's why this red heifer third temple nonsense is not biblical, because you're the temple of God. Check out that podcast we did. Don't fall for this Zionism propaganda. It's not biblical. If Christ is not in it, and they start sacrificing red heifers in a temple, if Christ is not in it, is it really holy? I don't think so. But this transhumanism agenda that we always cover, and if you're a Christian, is holy. That will get defiled. And they have the technology to biohack you, my friends. So again, don't fall for this dispensationalism Zionist teaching. Let's continue why dispensationalism has many, many flaws. It separates the people of God into two distinct groups, Israel and the church, and assigns different destinies and roles to them. Dispensationalism denies the unity and continuity of God's people in both the Old and New Testaments and the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel in the church. It ignores the fact that the true Israel of God is not based on a physical descent or nationality, but on faith in Christ and the new birth by the Spirit. There's just so many examples of this. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, a Christian, it's referring to here, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans 9, chapter, verses 6 through 8, not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac. Isaac's the promised child, the second born, the miracle child, like Christ. All children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So who gets the promises? Christians get the promises. Who are the chosen people? Christians, Jews and Gentiles alike. And I do think Jews, some of them, certain percent, a remnant, will come to Christ in the end of days. Now this destroys, we need to bless Israel so we'll be blessed. We've been blessing Israel since the 60s, and the United States is cursed. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And so bless a Christian and you'll be blessed. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel on Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Bless a Christian and you'll be blessed. Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So how is all of Israel? It's not talking about Israel, the country. It's talking about Christians. Abraham is blessing all nations through Christianity. And when you think of being blessed, you need to think about how this world is just a shadow. You know, many people will get carnal, including myself, about like money and whatever. Accolades, that's a blessing. Health, it's your soul. Get your soul for eternal life is the massive blessing, in my humble opinion. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? There's so many scripture. Bless Christian, you'll be blessed, my friends. All right, continuing Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 11 through 22, about it's Christ or bust. Wherefore, remember that ye being in the past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, right? Because the Jews had to circumcise themselves, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the country of Israel. you're aliens, but now in Christ, you're going, if you believe, if he's your first love, right? With your faith in Christ, then you're Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So you're Romans 11, you're grafted in the vine, my friends. Don't be cocky about it. Pray Jews get saved and their eyes are open, especially if I'm correct that the woman in Revelation is Jerusalem, the great city where they crucified Christ called Sodom in Egypt. You think about the Kabbalah and the Talmud, which has massive witchcraft practices. I mean, good night, my friends. Good night. Let's continue with dispensationalism flaws. It contradicts the unity and continuity of God's plan and purpose throughout history. God does not change his mind or his methods of dealing with people. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, Hebrews 13, verse 8, he has always been gracious and faithful to his covenant promises, and he has always required faith and obedience from his people. It misinterprets the meaning of fulfillment of prophecy. Dispensationalism imposes a rigid and artificial distinction between literal and figurative language and between historical and spiritual fulfillment. It fails to recognize the progressive and typological nature of prophecy and multiple comprehensive fulfillment of God's promises in Christ. It just butchers it, my friends. And let's prove it out. Luke 24, verses 25 through 27. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the scriptures, the things concerning himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So it's Christ or bust. This reminds me of the scripture, I'm going to change their hearts and forgive their sins in the Old Testament, talking about Jesus Christ, even Genesis 3. All right, let's summarize this dispensationalism, Zionist, I guess, theory. There's some interesting parts to it, but when you really read your Bible and put Christ first in the Old Testament, it's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. And this Israel worship is, in my humble opinion, I think, off the mark. You know, the Old Testament says God will bring back Israel twice. But you need to think about this. In the millennial reign of Christ, Israel will be back in the promised land. You need to think about that. A lot of the Old Testament scripture used about Israel coming back to the country, a lot of it screams millennial reign. And I think a lot of the lost tribes, the 144,000, people are coming to Christ in droves. They're having dreams, and they're not necessarily Jewish. Muslims, people in Africa coming to Christ. I had that dream where Muslims were jumping off of a plane, people from Africa were jumping out of a plane, hitting water, and then walking up through, I think, Yemen, Saudi Arabia to the promised land. In my spirit, God is marking Christians, and people are walking back to the promised land. It kind of threw what we've been taught out the window. Pray on it, my friends. Bless a Christian, and you'll be blessed. Have a blessed day.